Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. This weekend at Revolution Radio is dedicated to my brothers in arms. Many who never came home, some were never even found. And let us all remember that while we bicker and fight over our petty egotistical differences, that our sons and daughters are out fighting real wars and dying in real wars to keep us safe. Thank you.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Not what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Keith AZ Live. This is Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I am so grateful to be a host on this network. It's been a real joy for me. It's really connected with so many people. You know, we find we're not alone, right? Me being into UFOs and stuff and getting made fun of and, you know, feeling ostracized and having all this information and going, hey, everybody, you guys, man, this is the world ain't what you're being told on TV, right? And I feel I'm still in that battle. But at any rate, you know, we find each other. And I think there is so much coming together at this time. There's also incredible divisiveness, but in a way, they're the same thing because the division is forcing people to make a choice either for the light or for the dark, really in simple spiritual terms. So at any rate, lots to talk about, of course. Our good friend Conrad is with us tonight. He's been working very, very hard and has to get up early. So I'm always grateful when he joins us, and I'll introduce him shortly. But first, let me just quickly remind you all, this is listener supported. It's why we don't have commercials trying to sell you stuff every 5 minutes or so. 100% listener supported. I think a lot of other networks have tried to copy Revolution Radio. I don't know that any has been successful. You look at these, some of these others, and I'm not to put them down or anything, but, you know, maybe they have 5, 10, 15 hosts, and Revolution Radio has literally at this point, I think we're into the 10,000 number. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what it is. But I see so many wonderful new faces here in the chat room and in the host chat and wonderful energy. And boy, I hope this network goes for at least 10 years. Maybe 100 years from now, we'll be reflecting back because, you know, we'll have received the life extension technology and I'll be said, oh, I'm an old timer. Yeah, I was there and, way back, you know, who knows. But it's so wonderful that we're finding each other through this venue and other venues and finding that although we'll disagree on certain things, the basic fundamentals of it are the same regardless. There is evil afoot in the world. I mean, just straight up nastiness beyond the pale. It's questionable how much of the really dark stuff will come out eventually because it's all going to come out. But, man, I'll tell you, I was listening to, I forget who it was, talking about, I think it was Sean Atwood, one of Sean Atwood's guests. Sean Atwood does great work, by the way, everybody. If you haven't checked out his YouTube channel, SaunAttwood, I believe it's the correct spelling for it. The very interesting fellow. I should contact him, and he always he seems like such a sweetheart, and has had really wide ranging. His, you know, one of his big focuses is the injustice in the political system. I mean, in the jails, you know, the incredible horrific conditions they find themselves in. You know, being forced to sleep in these little cells with millions of cockroaches crawling in his ear and trying to eat out the wax and stuff like that. Can you imagine sleeping with, you've got hordes of cockroaches that are want to crawl in your ear and start, you know, to get that tasty earwax? And I mean, anyway, so the guy is doing wonderful work, and the prison stuff is something I've always felt. You know, people are being sentenced to the time for the crime. They're not also supposed to be homosexually raped or beaten up or, you know, or treated poorly, and the food is terrible. The private prison system, I mean, forget about it. It should never happen. But, of course, what we've got are criminals in charge. I think one of the things that is becoming clearer to those of us, you know, that have been into this for a long time, it's just how incredibly criminal the operations are. And then they come out and they say, well, it's for the children, you know. I mean, it's just so hypocritical. It's beyond the pale. But these people are being exposed. I'm telling you, man, I have a lot of optimism. It's not that I think everything's going to turn into happily ever after. You know, does that ever happen anytime ever? Personally, I doubt it, because I think as soon as we achieve, you know, climb a mountain and achieve a plateau in our soul's growth, we then take on even greater challenges. With great power comes great responsibility. Ultimately, I think what we're here to do is to shine our light. And that should be our primary focus, in my opinion, is self-development. Really applying your creative abilities to develop your own being, to radiate light and compassion. Compassion is so needed right now. I mean, you know, that it's easy to say that so-and-so is so bad and we just got to kill all these bad actors and stuff. But these are all trauma victims, too, and some of them can be rehabilitated. You know, that is a beautiful thing. People can change and do change. In fact, I would bet that this listening audience, many of you have gone through epiphanies, reevaluations, or had your total world kind of broken down where you found out things you thought were true, maybe not so much so, right? So your very foundation of your world paradigm, you know, becomes suspect, and you have to, you know, kind of rebuild. and seek new information and greater understanding, only to find then you're at another place where everything you thought was wrong all over again. So you know, that leads to a flexibility in your own belief system, to be willing, if new data comes in, then to modify your previous viewpoints. So that's a beautiful thing. Anyway, lots to talk about. I don't want to go on too much longer. I want to bring our good friend Conrad in. I know, welcome to the show, Conrad, and it's great to have you back. I know you've started a new business and are getting up early in the morning, and then tonight you're staying up late with us. So thank you, sir. Good evening.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, how long have we been hanging out waiting for some large extraterrestrial group to drop by and park their craft in Safeway's parking lot so we can touch and feel it? So anyway, we seem to be at that point right now. So that's my report tonight.
White House lawn. You know, we've had that giant ship flyer Phoenix, UFOs over the Capitol building. If people aren't aware there's something going on right now, I believe they're purposely closing their eyes. Anyway, you have
people
for us tonight.
Yeah, we're no longer wanting it on the White House lawn. Safeway would be a better venue. So anyway, Lemuria still exists. And it exists in a 5D frequency, and it is the new Earth that is dawning. It's one and the same. The veil between the dimensions has just disappeared. 5D Lemuria on Earth and in a physical form for all the world to see. Their message is, we are the grand Lemuria. The kingdom of heaven on earth. Star seeds all around the earth are reporting moderate to strong ascension symptoms right now from the powerful light waves that are impacting the earth. The forces of light continue to bombard the surface of the earth with gamma light waves. And the Earth Alliance recently received and decoded this special message. This message is from an advanced star group identifying themselves as the Lemurian High Council. These benevolent beings traveling in hugely massive ships, and a massive number of them, of huge light ships detected in Earth's solar systems earlier this week by solar observatories all around the globe. These angelic beings are here to assist in humanity's grand event, which is happening, to bring an inspiring message that provides clarity and peace for all the Earth. The Earth is going through the same exact transition that these ancient Lemurians went through. Before our recorded history, there was Atlantis and there was Lemuria, and these are the same Lemurians. They went through their ascension just like we're doing now, just prior to their graduating to the higher realms, where we're going to be staying here, but it's still ascension. The people of Earth have experienced major changes in the last 60 days, and it's very important to see what is happening. This is their message I'm reading. So you can gain your bearings and proceed on the path ahead of you. Before we get into this message, a dimensional primer. Dimensions are not places, but there are 12 layers in this universe, and they are constant and they do not change. These universal dimensions of reality always resonate with an exact frequency ranges. One dimension has nothing to do with another apart from having one thing in common, the observer. And the observer is you. A being that exists in a lower dimension can't perceive things in a higher dimension. but a higher being can perceive all things and everything in lower dimensions. Beings, in short, multidimensionality only works from the top down, of course. 3D humans are not able or aware of anything that other than the third dimension. Starseeds, who we are, if you're listening to this program, starseeds in 5D can perceive both 3D and 5D because they have the ability to perceive it. Now, for a point of clarity, we go on. Old Earth will always exist and is not being replaced by the new Earth. Ultimately, the Earth isn't dividing into two Earths. It has always existed in both these states and always will. The old and new Earth have always been here and always will be. One great Pleiadian master spoke much about this. I guess you could guess who this would be. He said the kingdom of the 5D heaven isn't coming. It's already here. And so if it was there these 2,000 years ago, then it is still here. A little space-time primer from the Lumerian Masters. The only time that exists is right now. The only space that exists is right here. Perceived reality is simply space-time. So you can surmise that the only reality is right here and right now, right where you are and right where you are. The great yoga masters knew this cosmic secret. This means that there is no reality other than the now moment and here space that you are perceiving. It means ultimately that you are creating everything on planet Earth. This is hard to conceive for people in the lower levels of consciousness, but we are operating at a higher level, and so we can grasp this concept. A bit of Lumerian humor, they're saying. There is nowhere to go and there's no time to get. Heaven, the new earth, is not a place where you will die, where you will someday get to when you die, because first of all, you're an eternal being that has always existed and always will exist. As we have said, there is no place to go and there's no time to get there. The great master also said, heaven, new earth, 5D is here right now and it's all around you. But you just can't see it yet, meaning if you do not resonate with it yet. This new earth heaven is a vibratory state of being a dimension that exists right now, and it can be perceived right now. Neither you can teach sleeping humans yet, right? We tell you, keep your focus only on yourself right now and let them be where they are. People ascend when they're ready to ascend. Quantum physics easily proves all this. And we have said all that we have said here, and it shows that a thing doesn't exist until you perceive it. The point is perception and point of view are everything in regard to ascension and multidimensionality. And this is the end of their written message, and therefore the end of my report. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That was great. I just was cracking up. A Stardust Man in the chat room, it says, I'll tune in after Keith's show is over. It's kind of a slam. Oh, well, it's not for everybody. You know, I get asked how many people listen, and my brother's asking, how come you don't know? And I said, well, you know, I don't really care, to be honest. I just feel that the right people are, you know. This is crazy times now. And the chaos is being instigated on purpose. I mean, you probably all have heard the reports that they're busing in people from other states. I'll tell you, a bunch of arrests are going to come out of all this, these riots of these organizations. Trump designated Antifa a terrorist group. Anyway, I want to go back to kind of responding to that wonderful channeling there, Conrad. We are multidimensional beings, and there is so much focus here on planet Earth right now from very, very high light beings, or another term you could use would be angels, and ascended masters, and so much amplification that people that are, you know, are misusing the energy as well as using it for positive. So all these things, so if people have a lot of negativity, that's being amplified. If you have a lot of love and compassion and forgiveness and creativity, and that's being amplified. Most importantly, the opportunity to raise your frequency vibration and enter into this New Earth, as that channeling called it. You know, we are multidimensional beings. Some people say your chakras go on and your auric field goes on way further, and you have chakras above your head and below your head. I know for a fact that below my first chakra, there is at least one other chakra, because I went through a process that's a chakra initiation, whereby my chakras they would like shut down one by one and then reform. And the first one was that one that's like below your feet, and really connects you with the earth. So it was a very difficult thing. It was weird too. Every single chakra was different, and, you know, experiencing your subtle bodies, be reworked in agreement with, my soul contract and, the beings that assist me. Difficult thing to go through, that reformation, but at the end of it, it's sort of like rebuilding your computer. You know, you replace the hard drive with a faster, bigger one, you replace the RAM, et cetera, et cetera. You upgrade the clock speed. It's sort of like that. It's just like an upgrade process. So we are multidimensional beings, and we extend, you know, really in the realest sense, what a lot of the channeling will tell you is that all is one. And so there's really no, you know, I'm not so into like divisions, like saying, you know, you have these different levels and that's all there is. I don't know. I just know that you peel back layers of the onion and you find a whole nother world existing, a whole new universe, a whole new level of experiencing that has more lucidity, has more, you know, contact, right? You just feel more connected. You feel more in tune. And as we move into this these higher vibrational frequencies, we'll find ourselves able to manifest reality more effectively. So that's all the more reason to deal with your own shadow. Any comments you want to make? I'm trying to kind of pick up threads from what you presented with us in your report, Conrad.
Well, what I think is exciting is the fact that there's a ton of these people have just arrived into our solar system, although there is a contingent in the fifth dimension that have always maintained their existence here. But this group specifically is coming because of this transition we're going through, and they seem to have a much more direct, simpler, matter-of-fact idea of how things work, and they're willing to share that. And any of these groups have much more technology than we do. I'm hoping, of course, we can only receive technology that we can use peacefully. Nothing anybody can weaponize. We've had enough of that this year with everything going on. But I'm looking forward to interacting with this and other groups, but this group is very real. You know, you can just feel the texture of what they're saying, and they're giving it in a way that provides a lot of clarity. And I think that's the big issue. It's not that we haven't heard most of this already from other groups or other channeling. The thing is that if you can get it in a good teacher has the ability to explain things so the students get it. You know, they can use it. It's usable information. Sometimes I listen to people on the internet, especially people that are very highbrow British. And I follow this one lady. I won't mention any names, but she does excellent. But she speaks in a manner that you have to listen to it four or five times to get. I purchase all her books. I have to read her books two or three times, and that's hard for me to get enough time to read a book, even a chapter out of a book. So these Lumerian folks are from the earth, and they speak with clarity and provide information that you can use and move on with your life and on your own path. So that's what I liked about their message. Thank you.
You know, every time we communicate with each other, there is a psychic component. We're multidimensional beings, and the more clarity you get, the more light you can generate, the more you can ring those bells in each other, because those truths are within all of us. The holographic fractal universe, right? Everything's connected. And the Lemurian energy, it's interesting that you bring that up. I haven't thought about Lemuria in a long time. You know, Atlantis is far more talked about. But that's interesting. You're saying that Lemuria was an earlier civilization, right? I kind of thought they coexisted. Or was there a period, or do you even know?
They overlapped quite a bit.
Yeah, they overlapped. And they
had a difference in how they looked at things, and that ultimately caused a conflict between them. But it was all kind of unnecessary. But apparently the Atlanteans, when they had the earth got destabilized where they were mostly, they just migrated other parts of the earth and joined in. But the Lemurians had ascended at the end of their stay in their great period, at the end of their time here. They were here for tens of thousands of years. And so when they finally ascended, they just moved into the heavenly realms. And I think that has a double meaning. One is being a higher dimension, like, so say, the Pleiadians are 5D and we're just graduating to 5D. So that's one way to graduate to a heavenly realm. But the other one is to simply use your technology, jump in light ships and go elsewhere and develop more other places. And when the Earth gives out a call, come back here with most of your fleet and lend some help in this transition. So a lot of these negative groups you were talking about, that exercise control and everything, they're being removed. I mean, it's a process which is going to take all the way through the year 2023, but you can get rid of all those clowns in the next 3 years. I'll vote for it. Anyway, that's my comment.
Yeah, these people that are choosing the dark, well, I should say entities, or maybe a broader term anyway, because it consists of humans, terrestrial humans, and non-terrestrial humans, and other types of physical beings, but also non-physical entities as well. I believe you're correct, Conrad. I think what's happening is that these darker energies just can't operate in the frequency space that we're moving to. I think we're going to find things are going to be a lot easier for us. I do believe we will create new challenges, that this is not an end. You know, it's not like the idea of dying and going to heaven because you were good and faithful all your life. I think we will create even greater challenges for us, because we will then be in a, you know, of a level that we can handle that. I think that's what always happens. I think that's what we've got in front of us right now. It's very easy for us to, you know, especially, you know, when you start getting deep into the darkness of the dark cabal, and, you know, you learn about the child trafficking and organ harvesting and the just unbelievable criminality that's going on. It's easy to feel overwhelmed and hopeless, right? But I think there's always this balance in this dimension that we're in right now, if you want to call it 3D or what have you, of polarity. There's always that polarity between dark and light and shadow and substance. And so there's the deeper parts of us manifest challenges for us that then motivate us and then actually force us to deal with these lessons. And we always have a choice whether We accept that responsibility and take on the challenge as a opportunity for growth, or the alternate is to deny that opportunity and blame the outside for what's happening on the inside. I just think these darker energies just won't be able to operate where we're going. I think as we move into it, because it's a process, it's not like, you know, you walk into another room instantly. It's a process of raising those frequencies and that vibrational level that we'll look back on this time and go, man, we freaking made it through that grinder, you know, and we've come out the other side, and our coal has been compressed and pressured into a diamond, and now we've got this clarity of this carbon matrix. I'm just using that as an analogy, right? But I think we're going to find ourselves very happy that we got through it, never wanting to experience it again, but really powerful for the learning that these challenges have forced us to achieve. You know, I think our tendency would be, if we weren't faced with any challenges, that we would never really grow, right? If you didn't have to, you know, it's very easy to play video games, or in my case, just, you know, play guitar, or, you know, play the same old licks, right? It's when you are confronted with that cosmic mirror of your shortcomings in no uncertain terms, right? You have to reevaluate yourself and say, well, maybe some of these habits I have, maybe some of these beliefs I have are not really serving me well, and I have an opportunity to see a greater reality, see a deeper reality into how the universe actually works. It's my view that the universe always helps you.
It does, you know. It absolutely does. The message, when it comes over from these folks, you get several simultaneously impinging levels of information. The one comment they made is that this, what we just went through, was a cosmic level activation of our fifth strand of our DNA of the 4.5 million star seeds that they're looking at and counting on Earth. And it's also activating the fourth strand of most of humankind right now. This is starting to affect these people, that they're waking up as they enter into the lower fourth dimension for the first time. So they give you a lot of multi-layered information at the same time they're talking to you. But these things, I mean, who else would have this kind of information except somebody that's really into consciousness and is looking down right now as what's going on Earth? So there's lots of little bits and pieces that came across like that.
It's my view that consciousness is the whole game, that consciousness is reality. That's what causes the causal reality, or another, you could think of it another way. The hyperspace portal that all matter is, whether you're at the subatomic level or at the galactic level, they're at the hyperdimensional level, they're like a toroid. And that's where the energy comes in from the other side of space, if you will, what I call no space. Some would call hyperspace. But it's the flow that is coming in and manifesting through these portals, whether it be an electron, Mother Earth, or the Milky Way galaxy, that then comes into coalesce and condense into physical matter. And the density of the physical matter, according to some of the spiritual teaching I've been exposed to, is incredibly valuable, because that's where the soul can really develop. When you're disincarnate, according to some of the spiritual information that I've looked at, And I think this is correct. You can't do the same type of deep soul growth that you can when you do incarnate in a physical body. And this is, you know, we're getting kind of deep. You know, my notes are more about, you know, some of the, I guess what you would call compared to this conversation, the mundane level and the riots and the fact that they're bussing people in and setting out pallets of bricks and, you know, for the protesters. And, you know, it's kind of monkey see, monkey do. So all they need, they don't need an army of instigators. All they got to do is send their crews in on a bus to whatever particular cities. And then once they start breaking windows, the paid operatives, you know, in a sense, they're mercenaries, George Soros mercenaries. That's what Antifa is and these other organizations. And the once they start smashing stuff up, it's monkey see, monkey do, and then everybody else goes, you know, they just have this herd mentality, right?
Yeah, you were enabling all the looters.
Yeah. You
know? And you can see it. It was quite astounding. I think we're learning a lesson this year because we're so divided, and yet the people on the lit up side, the light workers, or the people that are lighting up and that's their choice, will work together at the drop of a pin. You know, I was having car trouble until I finally determined to to work on the car and fix it. Now it runs like a sewing machine. But a couple times when I stopped, the lady of the house usually would come out and ask, you know, can I help? Is there anything I can do? Can I call a tow truck? You know. So our side is working together, and I don't know what you'd call the other side. Let's just call it a bomb of appointees in general or something. But that side is working like anything they do against Trump. They're very unified or very willing to work together against the light. So they're unified too. But since the division is so diverse, I think that lesson we're learning this year is there's no need for this division when all of consciousness is one and we could just all be working together. I mean, why would you have the biggest reason they have a vendetta against Trump is because he's cleaning the swamp and they're swamp creatures and they're guilty of sin and they know it and they're trying to put it off as long as they can. But that's the politics side. So without getting involved in the politics, I think we're going to learn the lesson to work together as a nation again. I mean, we had it most of the time, and we had it certainly during the war, even though I was a little too young to be conscious of the Second World War. I heard a lot from my family's experiences growing up. And we really did work together. It was called a war effort. You know, people worked together. And if we hadn't, we'd been speaking German probably right now, or Japanese. Anyway, I think we're learning that lesson this year, is to get back to that idea of working together. And there is only one consciousness. When I used to make saunas and hot tubs in San Diego a long, long time ago, I had these two people that used my studio. They did airbrushing, and they're fabulous artists with airbrushes. They would make angels and bubbles and if you can think of it, they could put it. They put it on these really expensive negligees and nightwear that women wear, sent to them by the best names in the country, which are already great things to buy and wear. And they would put their artwork on it, and then it would sell. They'd send it back, and it would sell for 10 times as much. And the guy's name was Universal Rainbow. It's Rainbow Star. Of course, this is not their born names. And his wife's name was Nebula. I'm sure that wasn't her born name anyway. But they were always going around saying, "We are all one." And if I heard it one time, I heard it a couple hundred times, heard them say this. And I got the sentiment sort of, but I really didn't grasp it. But now, hearing it now these days with what we know about how consciousness works, and actually there is only one consciousness. There's just consciousness. And so we are all one makes a lot of sense now. And that would be a great motto to revive and have people use, because, I mean, there's no sense throwing an old chair over your neighbor's fence he's only going to pick it up and throw it back at you, you know. and there's only one of us here, so if you mistreat your neighbor, you know, on some level, you're mistreating yourself, you know what I mean? And I think that's a lesson we're going to be learning this year very well.
Yeah, I agree. All is consciousness. Rocks, trees, planets, stars, galaxies. They each have their own kind of individuation, yet are connected through to the very source, to Creator. In fact, all is the very fabric of Creator, right? By definition. And so you need the consciousness is what then forms the matrix for the atoms and molecules to then coalesce into physicality. So we've got so much opportunity. Instead of listening to people tell you what the future is going to be, because there's plenty of people doing that, myself included. I mean, I make predictions, right? I'm predicting Trump's going to win in a massive landslide, even bigger than before. And that's why, you know, going back to one of your earlier points, Conrad, you know, yeah, these dark forces, the dark cabal is one term I like to use for them. I mean, none of these terms fit because, you know, it's so complex. It's not just one thing. It's not just like in a James Bond movie that it's Spectre, you know, and those are the bad guys, that one organization. No, this is there's good and bad operatives at all levels, you know. I'm sorry, what?
Well, while I was receiving this message, you know, a friend of mine, a gentleman that used to work for me doing auto body work until this pandemic happened, and we closed the auto body shop. But anyway, he never went anywhere without his little dog. His little dog was called Fido, and it was the cutest, weirdest little dog. And he came over, you know, yesterday and told me that his dog had passed away and told me all the gruesome details. And the dog was quite old. I mean, it was like 12 years old.
You still there, my friend? You dropped out there.
But okay. So anyway, his dog died. So while I was doing this message, his dog popped in. And you forget that animals actually are very good at conversing. We don't, most people don't, can't, but there are animal people that can listen to animals and tell you what is wrong with your pet or whatever. So anyway, Fido popped in and he said, you know, this gentleman had been just here. And then he went back home. And Fido said, I was walking around with you when you were here, when you were there, meaning here. Hey, my contract to be with you in 3D, and we are now starting to see 5D because of the pandemic, is showing us more. This is a dog talking, right? He said, I chose to leave now, but I am still here and will be with you. I am okay now. He was sick and he died when he was sick. He said, I am okay now and not sick, just looking younger. I think it's a dog joke. I love you, but you know that. I am one of your guides in love, Fido. So I texted him the message of what his dog said, and he was so, he knew from the way his relationship was that nobody could have come up with this. And I've been practicing to listen. You get to be able to do this by practicing to listen. And until you listen, you won't perceive it. And I could tell that this wasn't my mind making it up. It was, you know, it was this animal talking in a moment in between doing other stuff. So I just thought I'd share that with you. It's amazing. You have an animal that passed away and then he pops in and gives you a message of love and lets you know that he's one of your guides.
That's beautiful. I have a cat now that I believe is the reincarnation of a cat that I came to Arizona with back about 15, I guess 17 years ago now. I knew I would find, I knew she would come back because I wanted her to. I just said, you got to come back. She lived about 13 years. I made the mistake of letting the vets have at her with the whatever the shots they wanted to give her, because at the time I was stupid. I think that's what killed her. I think it damaged her kidneys. A lot of cats develop kidney issues because of the vaccinations, but also because of the crappy cat food that is, you know, you find in the, you know, regular stores. You have to go to special, you know, you can get much better quality stuff. I wanted her back, and I knew she wanted to come back, and so she's back with me. And I'll tell you what, I used to say, you know, she's my psychic kitty, and it's even better now that she's back again. She is so cool. It's the coolest cat ever. But, yeah, you can't communicate with them. We all have higher aspects, so each of us has a higher self. And you can communicate with your higher self, and you should, as opposed to looking to somebody that's in a leadership position. I've been hassled about calling them leaders. So let's just say all the people that fawned over Barack Obama and not understanding that he's a CIA cutout and total, I mean, just forget about it. The damage he did to this country is off the charts. It was either going to be Trump or else I don't know if there was going to be any hope left. It was inevitable, actually. You know, I mean, to put it in real terms, it was going to happen just because.
Obama grew up in Sukarno's palace part of his time when he was in Indonesia. He lived in the palace, and the Sukarno's son was his age. It's an interesting point, but he was spoiled, and then he was against, I'd say he was against people of the United States when he was in office because of what he did and everything he set up. So he definitely, you know, if he was part of him, was towards the light, more of him was against, you know, causing trouble, chaos.
Yeah, he was part of the Dark Cabal's plan to take down America, and they're setting it all up for Hillary to come in. Donald Trump said that if he hadn't been elected, there would have been if Hillary had been installed, there would have been a war with North Korea, you know, pretty much within months, if I'm remembering what he said correctly. But that would have happened, you know, then that would have justified all kinds of austerity and, you know, higher taxes or whatever, taking away even more rights. It's interesting, the Democrats calling Trump a dictator, when now that they've got their leeway, Trump said, okay, you states, you governors, you know, deal with this COVID however you want. And so all the blue states. Oh, by the way, there's an interesting statistic I bet a lot of you are aware of, that blue states have like 10 times the COVID reported deaths that red states do, right? I think a big part of that is just because of the corrupt reporting. I mean, you all have probably seen some of the videos of doctors coming on saying, yeah, I knew somebody that died in a car accident. And of course, it was very surprising. It turned out it was COVID that killed him, not the impact, you know, but that's what they're doing. They're trying to magnify this and scare people and keep people locked down. But the willpower of the people, you know, part of these riots are I think there's so much compressed energy with the shutdowns and people just kind of getting really frustrated. I mean, how many people have lost their jobs and how many people, you know, are facing homelessness and struggling even just to eat. There's a whole bunch of repressed energy that then they could light a match to with their paid provocateurs.
I've been working in a situation where I'm flipping houses, you know. So uh-huh. Unless you sell the house, you're not going to get any money. So I've been working for months with no pay. And it's partly because of this, because you can't go into somebody's house and replace their dishwasher. said when they're scared that anybody comes in the house might give them something. So, of course, all any work income I had just stopped. So this week I started a new job for rewiring a house, you know. So it's a $3,000 to $4,000 job at $35 an hour, which to me is big money. I mean, electrical companies charge more than that, but I don't have really the overhead. I'm just myself. So every day I work there, I get $280. And so as I was going to the bank to put in the $280, she says, "Oh, it's available right away. And oh, by the way, your stimulus check just went in." I went from being too broke to make it, you know, how they say there's more month than there is paycheck, you know, right. The last week you're always broke. So I was stretching to make it through, trying to sort tin cans on my shelf to see which I can make meals into to last a couple more days till my check goes in, right? And then all of a sudden, my bank account went up by $1,560, which was phenomenal. So I have been trying to put an emergency fund together. I've been taking Dave Ramsey's course. He always advises having a start with $1,000 and eventually build it up so you have 3 months of your costs as an emergency fund, just in case, who knows, your car breaks down or whatever. You need this emergency fund. So immediately I had my $1,000 emergency fund. So just keep that as minimum balance. And because I have this, my work is actually starting to pay me for the next 3 or 4 weeks here, enough to build the rest of it. So I'll have an emergency fund of 3 months of expenditures, plus enough money to go to either Home Depot or Safeway store and not feel guilty about spending the money. So all of a sudden, almost overnight, it all changed for me. Now, it's different with all these people, but, you know, this is a resilient country, and as people go back to work, they'll get back onto a regular space. I actually was able to drop my monthly house payment for my rental house down to only 20% of the payment for 3 months, and then I go back to the regular payment. And so what that did is it gives me a good cushion in my rental mortgage payment account. So I now have several thousand dollars back up instead of having the tenant in a single family house always pays a little bit less than the mortgage payment, it seems. So I have to put in something every month, but now I don't have to do that. And if there's a repair that's needed on the house, I can just simply call somebody. It's in an out of state. I can just call somebody to fix it and give them my debit card number. And they'll fix whatever it is that I sent them for, which I didn't have it before. So all of a sudden, within a few days, my entire situation turned around. Now, I could complain about how many hours I'm working, but I certainly won't, because I see so many other people that have yet to go back to work. But I think when they do, a lot of this will straighten out pretty fast. And I think the economy will go back. And I'm a big Trump supporter, but I cannot see the results right now. And usually I could. I could see that Trump was going to win before and told several people that told me I was crazy. But it turned out I was crazy like a fox. But this next election, there's several factors. And this is not a political show, so I won't say what they are. But it's unknown, and it shouldn't be.
We talk politics.
Oh, okay. This because of this virus and on the backlash, that's going to be a major factor. And the Dems are doing everything humanly possible to make it worse or last longer. As if they had their way, they make sure nobody got to work until November 8th. You know,
that's right.
And
if they manage it, they'd shut everything down till after the election, for sure. I agree.
Yeah, and that guy Fauci, Dr. Fauci, and also his assistant. The assistant he's related to. She works there at NIH, and he is in the hip pocket of Bill Gates. and he's tied about 20 different ways with Bill Gates, and he's on a group with another lady who's also he's related to and also works for the group of Bill Gates that's developing a vaccine with spurious things they're adding for their own purposes. So that whole thing is, what do you think? Tell me what you think about that.
Well, Fauci, I believe, I forget what researcher, but he was talking about how Fauci was groomed for his position, that he really didn't create those patents. They were set up for him to take credit for, so he could then be an authority figure and, you know, and make these pronouncements and, you know, that we got to be locked up and, you know, which we've never done with any of these other outbreaks.
Yeah, it doesn't pass the smell test.
Yeah.
When you hear him talk and hydrochloroquine, I can never say it. It's quinine is what it is. It's a form of quinine, which they used to take so that people wouldn't get scurvy. You know, they didn't have oranges. So, and it's been around, and they use that for a lot of different things, and it doesn't really, and people take it all the time, but there's no money in it. There's no money in it for the drug industry.
For big pharma, right?
Big pharma. So,
because it's cheap and easy to make, it's effective, it actually does do, you know, it really is effective in treating these different ailments like malaria. And obviously, some people, for instance, Mike Vera, believe that it's actually is effective against many types of cancer. And if that's true, well, let me just quickly say we're going to hit the break any moment here. Then makes sense as to why it's the universe. And remember, all these people are in lockstep, you know. So you've got all these huge conglomerates, businesses are all saying to their employees, you have to wear masks, you know, even though it's totally stupid. I read out the top four. Oh, you didn't hear this. I read out the top four reasons why you should wear a mask the other week. And let me just quickly review them. It protects you about as well as putting up a picket fence to stop mosquitoes. The viruses are way tinier than any of these masks can filter. It creates a warm, moist petri dish in your face for bacterial and virus growth, reduces oxygen to the brain and body, and marks you as a willing slave. So they're all in lockstep, the Dems and some of the Republicans and all these institutions, and they've got their marching orders, right? And all the network television, with the tiny exception of a few hosts on Fox. So they're all in lockstep, which should tell you a great deal just with that as to far as this is an agenda. It's not science. There's no science that we should distance socially distance. That's a whole nother mind control op in itself. Just the terminology they use. You know what they really mean is physical distancing. You know, we're just as social as ever on all our little texting and tweetings and what have yous and then radio shows. You know, I want to go back to a point I was trying to make. I apologize every year. I'm so tired. I'm actually got a little bit of a sore throat. I feel like I'm a little bit under the weather tonight. So my brain is so tired. I'm not being as as lucid as I'd like to be. But I think there's always going back to the point about feeling overwhelmed when you really see the face of evil and that, you know, it can appear hopeless. It's my opinion, and Conrad, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, but I think there's always an equal balance between the dark and the light. You know, in other words, there's just as much shadow as there is light to cast it. So to contrast it. So I think we always are in that kind of balance where we have a choice to do good or not. You know, we always can decide. So I think really we're being shown all the masks are coming off and we're seeing through all this stuff. And the Democrats are exposing themselves. And in one sense, you could say they're doing everything they can to reelect Trump. because that's going to be the result. I mean, they've got to be losing Democrat voters in droves, especially with this latest past couple of months with their ridiculous shenanigans. You know, at some point, people are going, you know, I mean, how long we're supposed to stay locked down? And here it is. Technically right now June 1st on the East Coast. And as the show progresses, you know, of course, you know, we're in June now. And this stuff goes all the way back to December. A lot of the thinking is that the COVID really already passed through a lot of us. It's not really. I think the lethality of it and the infectiousness of it has been seriously attenuated as it's passed through transmission to people. And you know, we're seeing all these dark agendas. They want to come out. Of course, the contact tracing, you know, it's like a Stasi. You know, it's like they're just trying to set up these. Really, Fink lines, right? And, you know, report your neighbor because they didn't wear a mask, or report your so-and-so because they got closer than 6 feet to somebody. And we've got to know all these names. You know, they just want to make lists and they want to know who's who as far as a willing slave or somebody that actually uses their own mind. So we really do have tremendous opportunity. I keep saying, you know, I really feel the balance between dark and light is equal by the very nature of the just the physics, the spiritual physics of it. So don't despair at this time. Learn, you know, I think these inward kind of journeys of, you know, one of the most important ones, of course, is the shadow work. But there's also a great deal you can do to activate your consciousness. I've done a great deal of training in opening my third eye. And I'll tell you, just once you start that kind of snowball rolling, it gathers its own momentum and it gets easier and easier. And you find yourself with even more gifts, as I have recently. I'm seeing things even more clearly than ever. I noticed about a month and a half ago or so that when I was doing the psychic work of clearing some people in my sphere here of unseen negative influences, as James Gillian would call it. I call it James Gilliland. Sorry, I'm so tired I can hardly talk, man. But I call it decording people. What I mostly do is pull out drainage cords from other individuals. However, the psychic world is so complex. These drainage cords can actually also come from non-physical entities. And there's also can be levels of possession. It's very complex and detailed, and there's levels and degrees. But it's part of the unseen reality that we're all operating in. And when you develop a skill set to be able to clear other people, what you find is then you start experiencing your own energy again, especially with these really long term. I'll tell you, in relationships, almost always one of them's courting the other. I mean, it's just like the norm. There are people that are developed enough that they know that they don't need to go outside of themselves to feel whole. Most of us, myself included, you know, feel an emptiness, feel there's a hole inside us, and we've tried to find different ways to fill it up. You know, you can go down so many different pathways to try to fill up that emptiness, whether it's addiction or fast cars or status type symbols or power and money, or control over others, all of these type of addictive behavior, I think, stem from feeling that emptiness in ourselves. And we can't fill it up with somebody else's energies or somebody else's creativity. We have to learn how to fill that empty space up with ourselves. And I think the biggest component of that is actually just self-love. And acceptance, especially if you can accept your shadow side, and that's perhaps the hardest aspect of it. When you do that, you can find yourself in a situation of feeling a lot more. I mean, this is where I'm at now. I feel a great deal more compassion and love for people. And my goal is to light up my own consciousness so that, you know, I can radiate that and be in a position to be generous because I've already taken care of my own self. So then I'm in a place where I can then be of help to others. And I think that's really where we find out who we are.
End of the break right there. The music didn't play.
Yeah, I was aware of that. It didn't actually last couple shows. The middle break, that's fine. I think Joe Tones has come back into the fold. I mean, and he's I think taking over the setting up of the breaks and all that stuff. So I think they're still doing our wonderful management team. I love each and every one of them on Revolution Radio are such wonderful people. I'm so grateful and. There's so much energy here. A lot of people with the passing of our wonderful station creator, Nighthawk, I heard a lot of people saying that the network was doomed. You know, again, that same type thing. We're all doomed, right? And, you know, I'm surprised, right? You know, but here we are. We've got tons of new people in the chat room, wonderful new hosts. I saw the mechanic in there earlier. I think he's picked up the slot after this as a regular time slot for himself because up until this point, it's been kind of a free-for-all if other hosts want to pick up that late night slot. I believe he's picking up it up as a regular roundtable, which is wonderful. It's so invigorating and exciting to see so much new energy. But it's because people are lighting up. Here we are. The Earth is like a cosmic focus of this whole galaxy. What happens here with this ascension radiates out like throwing a stone in a pond. The ripples go to the very end of the universe and then come back again, creating this beautiful interference pattern of shadow and light and crystal and beauty and love. You know, I mean, that's the part of ourselves and the connection that we can find in this madness that we're experiencing right now. And again, you know, you start looking at some of the darker aspects of this. It's very discouraging. It's incredibly discouraging to me to know that half of my own family, you know, thinks Barack Obama was a great president. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? This guy was that. First of all, I mean, just right, he blew up Libya. I mean, right off the bat, you know, Gaddafi. Say what of him, what you will. I'm not pretending he was a nice guy or anything. To be honest with you, I do not know all that much about him, but I do know that he. I think fits the mold of a benevolent dictator, right? So he was a strong man. I mean, remember, Libya consisted, you know, much like Iraq and that whole region, a lot of kind of tribalism and regional kind of warlord types, you know. So he was holding together. He had, like Saddam Hussein, had to be a strong man to kind of keep these people in line. And so what happened after that is Libya devolved into freaking Mad Max. I mean, that to this day, the devastation and what they did, there Gaddafi was educating his people, assisting them with home buying when they got married, turning the desert green, creating a gold-backed dinar, North African gold-backed dinar, you know, doing a lot of very positive things while being a strong man and holding a very difficult country together that has a long history of, you know, much smaller kind of regional tribalism type areas. So, Barack Obama, I mean, my God, I can't. And so it's my own brother. He thinks he's a great president. I'm like, are you kidding me? But that's how disassociated people are. And so I have to learn with him myself and say, no, you know, I'm just not even going to argue with him. There's no point in it. He's not going to hear it from me. I mean, oftentimes I think you know that, Conrad, right? Certain people, it's just the way your relationship works, and they just can't hear things from you in certain aspects. In my case, my older brother is that way. He'll never hear stuff from me. It took my mom telling him the IRS was a private banking cartel after I'd been telling him for years, and he just said, "Whoa, no!" I said, "Look it up in the phone book. It's not on the government pages, is it?" And he wouldn't even do that. You know, he'd just dismiss it because it's coming from his little brother. So you feel a lot of discouragement, but just because people are all trauma victims, I really think we have to, especially now with everything going on. I'm telling you, I don't know how many people are listening right now, but whatever amount it is, you're raising your energy a little bit when you think about love and compassion and how each of us are really trauma victims, and people are just massively screwed up. A lot of the part of it, I talked about the shadow self, but there's also your inner child. So many people, and this is what I see in my psychic work when I'm pulling influences off people. A couple of the people that I work with are very giving people. And so a lot of the hurt of the inner child in other people, and they see somebody that's giving, and they don't consciously know it, but they're looking to them as a father or a mother figure because their own father or mother didn't give them the love that they needed, because again, their father or mother was equally trauma victim as well, with generational trauma. That's perfect example of my own father. I mean, the why I'm doing this work is because he is such a taker, psychic vampire, if you will. And that's a way of life that's a generational way of opportunity. It's very great for those people that are those real users, those real taker, because they're just feeding up on that energy. Another aspect of the psychic drainage is you don't have to allow it. And those of us that are really giving people tend to be more sympathetic and easier. We don't put up the kind of protection we need. And also we don't value ourselves sufficiently. I mean, that's actually, I think of all my struggles my whole life is feeling the self-worth, has been one of the biggest things I've had to learn to do, and in learning how to love yourself. If you can fill up your own heart with love instead of seeking it outside yourself in a partner or a mother or father figure, then you become actually capable of being in a mature relationship instead of as a damaged inner child relationship. We're getting far afield, but again, these are the I think the most important things we can take away, especially at this time. The more secure you can get within your own being, the more that will reflect in your outer world. And you then become a island of peace in a storm, right? Or that's not the correct reference. I forget how you say that old saying, but you become more stable, and especially emotionally. If you can be stable emotionally with people that are really losing their minds, you can really ground them and help them kind of come back to center, if you will.
Well, we're getting a lot of help too. What's been happening during the last two Earth months, that the fifth strand was fired in everybody, and when it was activated, that strand is connected to the fifth chakra, so you're beginning to perceive this new reality, and you haven't known, you knew it at one time, but you haven't known it for eons. So it's an old awareness of how it works. And when that throat chakra opens, people not only begin to speak their truth for the first time, but they begin to have their truth to act authentically. They begin to align with their identity, and all the shadow veils and illusions fall away, and then all that's left is this the ultimate reality of what is. And this is the point when a being begins to move away from their old shadow world, and it's the point where a person changes the most. Those huge changes go on. And the 5D shift is the most powerful shift and activation that a person can experience. And in everyday life, this 5D awakening can be confusing if you don't know that what's happening. And it's sort of like being woken up from a sound sleep, you know. But pretty soon you gain your power and you can take full advantage of it. And you have a confidence you didn't have before and you just move forward. And that kind of happened to me 2 months ago. And I just now plow forward with the confidence that I'm doing the right thing. Because if you're not doing the right thing, you start getting all kinds of signs. But if you're not getting those signs and things fall into place, then you might as well move forward and make giant leaps in whatever it is your goals are, whether it's music or whether it's fixing a house or, you know, improving relations with your family, whatever it is. If you've set it as a goal, you'll be moving forward to it because of this energy that is out there right now. And this all happened in the last 60 days.
Yeah.
At the same time when all this chaos is happening.
Yeah.
So it's a dichotomy, but if you realize it's going on, it helps quite a bit.
People are lighting up, man. I'm telling you, there's more good, you know, because the mainstream news ain't going to report the good stuff. They're going to want to scare you with everything. Oh, by the way, I bet you this listening audience is aware of this already, or at least for the most part, most of you are. But that cop that killed the white cop that killed the black guy, put his knee on his throat and asphyxiated him. That whole thing is a psyop. For sure. So the information has come out that these two guys actually work together. They've known each other for 17 years. Both worked as security guards for, I think, a stripper club or some kind of nightclub. And I think what it was blood ritual sacrifice. So they had to do it in the public forum, right? That had to be on TV. Of course, then they didn't, you know, an ambulance came, but what came out of the ambulance were police officers. And they pronounced him dead on the scene. All of that's way off of what normal protocol is. Normally, actual paramedics would attend to him. They would take him away in an ambulance to a hospital and then have a doctor pronounce him dead, right? But no, they wanted to escalate that as much as they could. That was a planned event. It was a blood ritual sacrifice to open a demonic portal to then instigate these riots. And, of course, they had everything all set up. They had their crews of roustabouts or their crews of their paid mercenary destructo dudes ready to deploy, had the bricks all set up and where they wanted them to start smashing storefront windows and start fires and as much as I say they're doing everything they can to reelect Trump, from their minds, they're doing everything they can to survive and hold on to power and not go to jail, which is what they're all facing. And I think the good guys are kind of letting them roll with it, just like they did with the corona. They're letting them show their true colors, but they're also then following all the trails. So they're seeing who's doing what and which governors and which Soros-backed Antifa groups and what that and who's who and where they're getting their money. I bet you a whole bunch of these people are being rounded up as we speak, and we're not even hearing about it. I think a lot of that's been going on. I think a lot of every time there's an assassination attempt on Trump, of which, according to some sources, there's been 12 so far. Oh, by the way, I didn't know this, but somebody was commenting recently that Trump wears a bulletproof vest, and I went, duh, of course he would. I mean, the guy's been in the crosshairs since he announced his bid to win the nomination and then the election, so... It's all these masks are coming off and we're seeing who's who and what's what. I'm telling you, let's go to the economy now for a moment, Conrad, because we were talking about that a little bit. What I'm expecting to see is the economy to actually start picking up steam pretty quickly. And in fact, since Trump's using the Federal Reserve as a credit card with zero interest right now, I expect to see, of course, tons of that money is going to go to stupid places like National Public Radio, which, what does that have to do with combating the COVID virus and the loss of employment? Nothing. I guess maybe keeping some staff on at the NPR, but no, whatever. And going to these giant universities that are already flush. If anybody's aware of the CAFRA information, that's the off the books, all these organizations like, Harvard and et cetera, keep a double set of books. So they're always having, raise money for this school or this whatever. And in fact, they're already super rich. They're just scamming the public yet again. And very little of that money raised actually goes to what the stated purposes are with virtually all of these charities. I don't care who it is, whether it's UNICEF or Red Cross or what have you. Some organizations are better than others, of course. I think Doctors Without Borders is one that, to what information I have about it, is pretty cleanly run. But these other ones, paying their CEOs millions of dollars for a charity organization, what's up with that, It's just another scam, and maybe a tenth of a percent of the money goes to the children, and all the rest of it's going into their pockets, from what I've been. In fact, charity scams, Charles Ortel has been doing great work exposing the Obama and Clinton charities, and among others. So anyway, I expect to see the economy really pick up. In fact, I think it's going to explode. There's all this repressed energy. So as the Trump administration deploys the money, and again, he's got a blank check, a 0% credit card that he can run up into whatever level he wants. And with the state of emergency that all 50 states have declared, he's got incredible discretion about how he can operate, and he can withhold funds. So, for instance, according to my understanding anyway, maybe somebody will correct me, I may be wrong on this, but my understanding is that he has a lot of discretion about how to apply those funds. So even if such and such got some money, he could not necessarily disperse it at that time. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But I don't think he's even that concerned about it. I think what we're going to find is that there are going to be tons of openings coming up as we move into fall, and especially after November, and coming by January, I think the economy and the stock market and everything's going to be bigger than ever. When it becomes official that the Fed is no longer, and we're back, how that's going to play out, Conrad, I'm not sure. You may have some thoughts on that, but I think he's going to wait till his second term for that to fully be become realized.
Everything has to be done in the right time. Since it's been folded into the Treasury, Trump has full control over it now, which is good. And also, we're not borrowing money at interest, which just robs the middle class of about 10% of their income since 1913. You can believe. I wonder how much money that is. It's probably $250 billion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
that's a long time.
I just want to say, I think Trump is going to, he's talked about this, and I believe he's going to give a payroll tax cut. One possibility, Dave, on the X-22 report is said that he may say, well, let's just give a temporary, we've got to restart the economy after this devastating COVID thing. See, he's using their weapons against them. So the dark cabal, the COVID, the whole fear thing, and social distancing, and you got to stay at home and lose your job and your home and your rent, everything like that. He's using that against them. So you can say, well, with the COVID stuff, to restart the economy, I want to give a federal payroll tax holiday for you know, this period of time, maybe 6 months or something. And then people will go, wow, I'm getting my own money that I earned. I didn't realize I was making that money because my take-home pay, you know, but here I've got my full paycheck, right, except for maybe Social Security and state tax, right? And so you've got a huge more chunk of change to go around, and people are going to like that. And then Trump will say, well, you know, we don't really even need a federal tax. You know, we've got the Department of Treasury issuing public currency with this asset backed, and we're flush. That's what I see happening. So I see by January the economy really picking up. Even as early as January, the stock market may even be above what its high was before the COVID thing hit. What do you think, Conrad?
Well, I always wonder, the stock market being high is a good sign. But how much practical effect it has on the average family, I'm not sure. But the thing is, with the economy going good, with less, not only taxes, but less, a lot of the way it was set up was like a leaky bucket. You know what I mean? It's like you have a certain amount of money, and if your bucket didn't leak, you might make it through to the end of the month. But it with water falling out the bottom of the bucket, maybe not so much. So I think things are going to be set up better when everybody's back to work. And a lot of people are going back to work already. Most restaurants in this area, I'm in Texas, most things here are going back. And everything else started today. Well, today's the first of the week. So it's when most things here in Texas are restarting.
Yeah.
And Texas has an avid appetite to get things done, so
yeah,
we'll just go and do it.
People are going to explode. I'm telling you, people have so much pressed energy because they've been shut in, and they're just dying, and they're going to appreciate it. I think of all the policies Trump's been doing. So he's been curtailing illegal immigration to a great degree with the wall and other policies. But the biggest thing is like the new CANAMEX deal. I forget what the actual acronym is, but the Canadian-Mexican trade agreement the other trade agreements with India and England and all the other ones he's also done, that bringing manufacturing back. So these are higher paying jobs, much more satisfying jobs than for instance, say, you know, because what are we left with? The service industry stuff, you know, may I take your order, right? Real low paying, you know, jobs that I personally don't enjoy a lot because they're just not that creative. You know, manufacturing jobs, man, I may try to get back into that type of work, depending on the environment. But no, I think there's going to be explosion. You know how, Conrad, you know how we've been saying, you know, by this time next year, things will be really different. Well, you know, yet again, there's a prediction we've made on this show. You know, think of this time last year. Things are totally different now.
Yeah, I'm not sure how in a good way, but things
are very different.
It is, because all the behind the scenes things, an awful lot of overregulation has been removed. And for every one, they have to take out two. And now
I thought it was 10.
Well, it is now. It's been increased. But originally, it was not as ambitious. And it's been working really well because you don't have an administration there that's trying to add more. You have one that's getting rid of things. And that frees people up to work in companies to perform. And the pent-up economic people haven't been able to get out and buy things and purchase what they want. So there's going to be a lot of demand. I know myself, after I always was wanting to buy American, but I think now after this, see with China threatening us to hold us hostage for medical supplies, you know, people are going to want to buy American, which is going to mean we're going to be manufacture and make more things and have more things. You know, I was on eBay buying something I needed the other day, an electrical part, and one had an American flag and the other didn't, man. I went for the company that was the U.S. company.
Even if it's a bit more.
Yeah, no, actually they were a little less. Individual items were 488 versus 526 for the foreign Chinese one. So I don't know how that happened, but I ordered four of them, you know, because it's something I use quite often just to keep vehicles running. It's a little thing. It goes on the post on the battery, and then the battery cable goes on to that. And so at night, if you don't want your whatever's running your battery down, you just open your hood and turn. It's like a half-turn switch to turn for on or off. So it disconnects the battery so that you in the morning you can connect it and the truck will start up. A lot of vehicles I have other things in there that use power. And, if you go through the thing long enough, you could find out which fuse, but you find out it's a computer in the vehicle that's drawing the extra power for no good reason. So I shut them off.
You have to reset your clock and radio stations, but...
Yeah, and I can, I can fix that by putting a little lithium battery in there. I don't care, I don't mind finding the station and pushing the number one button so that I can find it again.
I'll tell you something, Conrad. It's interesting that you say that. That was one of the biggest things I dealt with cop cars. Just to refresh, not everybody, especially with so many new people, I spent about a 25-year career as a Motorola technician, and a lot of our customers were public safety. So my primary thing was two-way radio equipment, but I also dealt with so much emergency equipment, all their sirens and light bars and computers and map. I mean, they just got a whole wealth of stuff, and some of the stuff has a slight quiescent, current. And I used to put something called a charge card in, Conrad. I probably still have some. I could send you one, but it's a battery switch like you're describing, but it's timed so that you can set it so that after an hour it turns off or after a certain amount of time. But I used to go through these cop cars and ambulances and fire trucks and isolate every single current feed, every single plus voltage feed to whether it be the light bar or the radio system or what have you, and find out where the draw was. And then take those ones and put them on that timed switch.
Right. A lot of the stuff in late model vehicles, they're real indecisive. Now I notice none of the fuses have any indication. If you don't have the little booklet or go online to find out where the fuses go, then when you do find out, they're supplying four or five different things. How much time do you want to spend on an everyday vehicle when it's easier just to have that little switch on the negative battery terminal? The other alternative is to just buy a $39 battery tender and plug it in at night, and it'll keep your, it's more than the draw bringing it down.
Well, my case, it was pretty easy to find where the current draw was because I wasn't troubleshooting the vehicle itself. I was troubleshooting the added on, public safety equipment. So,
right. Wouldn't there be an additional fuse panel for the electronics?
Typically, you wouldn't put in a fuse panel because a lot of that stuff wasn't installed. Well, of course, when the thing's built up, but typically they would have inline fuses on that particular feed. And a lot of those feeds were very large. I mean, we're not talking about supplying, a map light or something. We're talking about a... 100-watt radio that draws 12 amps or, a light bar that draws 8 amps. So these are big lines, and they would have big fuses on those, number 12 or number 10 wires.
Wires. Exactly.
Yeah. That was fun work. I really enjoyed it. Actually, challenging as hell because radio waves are invisible, and people are always telling you, "Well, it the light only blinks every other time," or something like that. But I was very successful at it. I went into business for myself for a while there, excuse me, and was charging $85 an hour, man. I loved it. But then, of course, a big box store, Motorola, came in and took over, basically gobbled up all my independence. I could have probably survived, but I thought I had a job opportunity out here, and that turned out to fizzle out. So, oh, man, life can be so disappointing at times, but it brought me here, and where I used to live is Rohnert Park, which got all burned up, what was it, last summer or the summer before? Time is just flying by. But at any rate, yeah, we were commenting in the about the Bay Area. Mr. Rowe and some others were talking about the riots in, I guess, the East Bay. They were talking about the Bay Area Rapid Transit System and Hayward and Walnut Creek and all those areas. So
remember when L.A. had riots a long time ago? It's about 15 or 20 years ago or something. There was tremendous riots.
One specifically are you thinking of? Rodney King, the riots that then ensued from his conviction?
I don't know. I can't remember what the cause of, but there was like just tons and tons of people downtown.
Yeah, that was
LA.
The Rodney King riots. What happened was this is a case where he was beat up by white officers, caught on camera, and then released, and had a big trial over it. And the officers involved were acquitted of abuse. And then
I
am just
now,
crazy.
Yeah. Everybody went ape downtown. Yeah. So it just seems like a big throwback to be back to that now. But, you know, that there's no reason. Well, I guess that was, you're saying that put up as a ritual sacrifice in order to cause riots and problems.
Well, it just takes one instigator to start burning stuff down for everybody to follow the leader. I mean, that's just how sheeple operate, you know. A lot of us, in fact, I say if you're tuned into this show, dead air on A. Yeah, they're saying there's dead air on A right now. Did I lose?
Well, I can't believe that. I saw that one scene. I didn't really catch which city it was, but there's six cop cars on fire. You know, I guess the police came down there to deal with the situation. They surrounded them, and while the police were trying to fend off some of the people, the other people were burning their cars. So,
I'm sorry. I'm just going on, Conrad, because a couple people in the chat room said there's dead air on A, but I hear the flash.
Well, if you hear the flash player, we're good.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Anybody hear me in the chat room? If you can hear me on Studio A in the chat room, please make a comment. We've got about 20 minutes or so to go, and the mechanic will be coming on next for, I believe will be doing a roundtable. And I want to thank Factor Fiction, Stephen Crawford, for doing his show prior to mine. It's wonderful to have such a a great show preceding mine. And any rate, so yeah, the Rodney King, I was not near as educated as I am about those riots, but these ones, they're definitely got their paid instigators involved in these things. I mean, we've caught them. I mean, this has already come up. That's one of the beautiful things about this time is that people are unpacking stuff so fast.
Right. I just wondered if there wasn't some non-lethal way to preclude people from burning your squad car.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you could think of a lot of ways, but they would be expensive. I think force fields, that invention really does exist. Actually, a AI intelligent computer in your car could then, you know, like remember that old show Knight Rider, and then the car could take defensive action and shoot a taser at him or so. I don't know. No, what you've got to do is de-escalate the situation. I mean, the whole reason that people are doing this is because they've got so much pent-up frustration. Their lives suck. Their jobs suck if they have one. They're living in these urban ghettos. You know, that's no fun. And they feel they have no future and nothing to lose, right? So once we lift once we raise the entire base platform of the economy that we're sitting on and move from a debt-based economy, a debt-based monetary system, and back to, you know, in other words, we're returning. And that reminded me also when you were talking about Lemuria and all that stuff, you know, and I think Viking mentions this too. I tend to look at it as we're achieving these greater psychic abilities and these greater operating abilities within our consciousness. And others would say, no, we're just remembering them. I think there's truth to both of that. We are increasing, but we're also have been part of this ploy has been to disconnect us from our higher being, right? Our higher self and the spiritual, our own spiritual nature, our own divine nature, really. And so many people have fallen for that ploy. So we're reconnecting with that deeper reality of our multidimensional being. So I forgot where I was going with that. Sorry, I'm a little tired. But you made a comment. Go ahead, Conrad, if you have.
No, I finished what I was saying before.
I got so flustered. I don't know. At any rate, I was still looking at the mechanic in the chat room says he still can't hear A. He found it. Okay, he just had an issue on his end. At any rate, I really, you know, in this time, so this we've got a lot of chaos going on right now. We got the riots, we got the lockdowns, and people shut in. And so in this time, all kinds of things have been happening. So the bad guys have come out to play, putting up their 5G towers. I mean, you've probably heard that story, Conrad, right? That people have been staying in, and they finally go back outside, and there's this new antenna tower up. And so they're, you know, the bad guys are taking this opportunity to do everything they can. And of course, these riots are part of it. They needed something, you know, these riots, they need them because Rick Grenell, former DNI, and now John Ratcliffe coming in as the DNI, they got trouble ahead. So if they can't attack it directly, they got to delay, 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 and they've got to have something for the news headlines. I mean, a lot of this has been going under the under the radar for a lot of people, particularly the declassifications that Grenell, I think, in 3 months declassified more stuff than his predecessor did in years. Oh, I've got another negative comment. Keith, did your mama drop you on your head? Oh, thank you, hummingbird. Okay. Well, don't tune in if you don't like this content. You know, there's plenty of other places. I guess right now they were asking about Spaced Out Radio and Dave Scott. I believe he has, or at least in the past, was having fellow hosts cover the weekend. He's doing 3 hours, 5 nights a week, weeknights, right? I don't know what the staff, I'd have to ask management, but this show is on A and B. So if you tune into Revolution Radio, I'm the only one. Some people aren't going to like, you know, where I'm coming from. That's fine. I mean, that's what makes this world beautiful, that we have different viewpoints. And, you know, if you don't find this useful, go to another channel. That's all right. What I really feel is we are really moving into a more love vibration. Okay, so instead of talking about 3D or 5D, I feel that we're really moving. The gist of it is how we're going to be feeling about where we're at. Is what we will feel is a greater connection to Mother Earth, to our loved ones, to our job, to our relationship with the world. Not that it's going to be all better and all problems and we're going to be in Shangri-La or Utopia or something like that. I think we'll have a plateau of some peaceful times before then we start developing the next challenge that we want to tackle. Were you trying to say something, Conrad? I'm sorry.
No, but I think that as people come back out, there's going to be a lot of things that they want to get done, changes they want to make. So
yeah,
I see the discourse. I've always thought it was great when people add ideas, even if it's not a solution to the problem. If they start a conversation, it might lead somewhere productive. That's why I always kind of liked AOC. You know, she'd start conversations, and you know she was woefully deficient in some areas of information. But it doesn't matter if you know, as a legislator, if she suggests something, it's out there on the table to consider. You know, that's a good thing. So I think we're going to see more discussion. It's amazing when I was living in North Dakota how much more Canadians discuss things than Americans do. Americans will discuss a little bit and go and then go back to whatever they were doing. But Canadians will, you know, like 30 people will call in on a show on some new point of topic and just discuss it until you're disgusted with the amount of it. But they get a lot done and they have a lot of quality decisions that come out of it. It's a good thing to... Even if you disagree with, see, that's the point. People get upset when somebody disagrees with them, but that's crazy because it doesn't block them from holding their opinion if somebody else has a counter opinion. It's part of it, and it's healthy.
So yeah, and you've got to understand the underlying psychology of the disagreements, and sometimes it's just that, people have different paradigms. So if you have a different belief structure, about what reality is, then you may find irreconcilable differences. But yeah, discussion's good, but it's just a lot of people aren't mature enough to really have honest discussions, I would say.
It isn't put forward in school. You know, yeah. When you're
critical.
Elementary and junior high school, it should really be brought. I took a debating class and a couple other one on public speaking, but I never had anybody as a teacher which said that it's a valuable thing when somebody expresses their opinion and you don't have to agree with them. And you don't, if they're doing something, you don't have to own it. You know, some simple instruction like that might make people able to be a little bit more open in their discussions without getting it. A lot of people have short fuses, you know, they get upset really quickly. They're like a little teapot. In some cases that it can be really bad, but a lot of crimes of passion they talk about, you know, people. I never really bought into that. I think that it's silly. If somebody disagrees with me, they're not going to ruin my day. They don't have to agree with me. They don't have to listen to my conversations on this station. If they don't resonate with it, they can turn the channel.
And we are getting a lot of nice positive comments in the chat room as well. At any rate, so another interesting aspect. Okay, so this is what, again, current events. What I see happening, so we got the rise, got the COVID, we got the Democrats wanting to put writer after writer of ridiculous Democratic cream lists, you know, the mail-in voting, voter harvesting plans. I mean, they're scheming because they know they're not going to win the they're for sure not going to win even the popular vote this time around. Of course, I think that was skewed anyway. There was 3 million plus votes for Hillary, according to what they tallied as far as the popular vote. And some people have suggested that that's the number of illegals that the actually got into. Because if you follow Tom Fitch, Judicial Watch, he has exposed that they got more registered, they've got more voters votes than registered voters and stuff like that. A lot of irregularities, but you know, so in this time, so what's being happened? Well, the old is being swept away, you know, by fire and baptism and what have you. So there's a lot of chaos. A lot of the old is being torn down to make way for the new. So even though it is destructive and people are getting hurt and such, you know, ultimately, that's going to open the space for the new reality to become manifest. And people have had this time to really have, you know, such huge numbers of people globally, not just in America. You know, remember, this shutdown stuff's been going on all over, you know, European countries and other places, Australia and New Zealand and such. People have had a lot of time to reflect back. And with these incredible cosmic love energies coming in, these masters, remember what happens on Earth affects this whole galaxy and really the entire universe ultimately, because all is connected. So there's a great deal of tension here, a great deal of help. Masters, if you choose to meditate, you can tune into very high vibrational energies that are suited directly, formulated, so to speak, for the exact right vibration that is the most beneficial to you if you choose to tune into it. But you've got to make that choice. They won't help you without you asking, right? They're dying to. They want to, but they will never violate universal law. You have to be receptive and have to desire it, and they will give you help. It might not come in the form that you think it should. You know, a lot of times what we think we need turns out not to be the case, and you know, there's deeper levels to our being that are orchestrating this. Our conscious mind is only one part of who we are. You know, as I was talking about earlier, we have, you know, you can analyze, and these are really, they're all the same, but you can use this constructively for analysis purposes of breaking it down. You do have a shadow self. You do have an inner child, which I bet you for most of you is not being sufficiently nurtured. It's certainly the case for me. I still, to this day, I still struggle with you know, remembering to take that time to pay attention to where my inner child, what my inner child is feeling. Is it feeling frustrated and mad and not getting attention, or is it sad, or what have you? This is inner work you all can do. And the higher self, and then the conscious ego mind, these are all, your body itself has a consciousness, and so do your subtle bodies. And so, I mean, you can think of those as separate parts, but they're all part of the same collective being. You've even got other consciousnesses, because the flora and fauna that populate your digestive tract, actually, they even have their own consciousness. The COVID-19 virus has its own consciousness, too. All of these things do. And you can address those directly. One of the aspects you can do for healing is to talk directly to what ails you and ask it what the message it has for you is. Because if you don't deal with
that, talking to your body. Talking to your body works.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If you don't deal with that, you'll just recreate that illness, you know, or whatever malady it is.
Right. The body is designed to take instructions. Most people don't know that, so they don't do it. But it's part of the self-healing system of the body. You actually talk to it. You can talk to it out loud, you know. You can. Sometimes when my arm hurts from lifting too much the day before, I can talk to it. I can also take in the leave. That helps a lot, too.
Well, yeah, and I start with asking it, you know, what is the message? Say my lower back hurts. What is the message? Well, it turns out for myself, the message is that I feel that I don't have enough money. You know, I'm being really brutally honest with y'all, talking about myself, which it's kind of makes me vulnerable. It's kind of risky behavior, I guess, you know, it's not comfortable to do, but it's illustrative of how this this works. And so then now that I have that message, then I have to process it and look at what my belief structures are at the more subconscious level, those subconscious programmings that project this illusion that there's not enough for me, right? And then deal with those issues, you start to feel yourself loosen up. You can actually heal cancers, and I mean, people. This is documented. There's books been written on these subjects. Of these different modalities people have used to heal themselves. They all lead to the same place. Some people just use laughter. I mean, there's one guy who wrote a book about he was diagnosed with terminal cancer of some type, and so the doctor said, well, just go home and make the best of what time you have here in the world. And so he decided to just go into humor and watch funny movies and whatever avenues to explore that with. And he found himself just feeling better and better and better, and the cancer went into remission, you know? So we have, again, I keep telling everybody, we have a great deal more power than what the authorities want you to believe. They don't want you to know that you're a divine spiritual reality generator, because then you won't follow their orders. You'll say, I actually want to conform the world to what suits me instead of what suits this person that actually really ultimately what they want to do is harvest your creative energy for their needs instead of empowering you assist in creating paradise here on Earth. That's what we should be about, is generating. Nobody's going to give it to us. Aliens ain't going to land and fix everything. Why would they do that? They would defeat your own that would defy universal law, because they would defeat your opportunity to learn it for yourself. You know, the old saying, give a man a fish, teach him to fish, etc. We've got tons of help on that, but ultimately it's up to each of us individually to make that leap, instead of expecting Trump to solve it all for us. I mean, we are part of the reason Trump administration is being so successful in the face of so much challenges. The globalists and the, you know, if you say Republicans and Democrats, it's really self-determination against the globalists, that, you know, the people that want freedom and people that want to enslave. Oh, there is the break. Listen, everybody. Thanks so much. Thanks, Conrad. See y'all next time.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for